You are listening to the Fantasy Joes Podcast, your weekly dose of fun and unique fantasy football talk with a focus on dynasty. And now, here are your hosts, Trey Barrett, Will Greenwood, and Ryan Livergood.
That's right, we're the Fantasy Joes. He is Will Greenwood. I am Ryan Livergood. Will is coming to us from the Pillow Palace in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm coming to you from the home office in
such a great nickname
north of Chicago, Illinois. So, Will, we're almost there. We are about a week away. When this show comes out, we're less than a week away. We're days away from the NFL draft. How are you feeling?
Our last episode before the draft happens. So, buckle in or buckle up, whatever you want to do.
Buckle up.
Because we're going to go through, we have about 40 to 42 mock drafts. We're just going to run through real quick.
Yeah, just to get you ready.
I mean, because the one thing you need to do is just douse yourself in mock drafts.
If you haven't already.
Yeah.
No, so we're very close. We're going to do the draft party again this year. So be sure to check that out. Check out the feed. We'll have a show dropping, Friday morning and Saturday morning. So
Ryan, you have to be way more excited about the draft party. It's a great time.
Everybody's
just reacting to the first round. This first round is going to be exciting because I would guess at least 5 quarterbacks are going. We'll all be floored if they don't go.
Yeah,
probably 5 wide receivers and some surprises and maybe up to 2 running backs. Who knows? It's going to be a fun offensive first round draft, which I'm very excited about. I'm going to be stoked about, Ryan, about the offensive linemen. Let's go. This first round, the drafter party for round one. First of all, round one in the NFL takes forever to get through. Like watching the NFL draft, it's kind of like a snooze fest when in between picks. But the drafter party is everything you need to know.
Yeah. It's fun. It's always a good time. So I don't even know who we're gonna have on the draft party yet, honestly. But we'll have some fun people, in the dynasty community. So it's gonna be a good time. But let's kind of get into we're kind of building this part two. We talked about action items to take prior to the NFL draft, and really it's crunch time now to do some of these things. So we're gonna talk about a few action items, but first we're gonna get into some news, Will. And this is Fantasy Joe's episode 173, but I kind of feel like it should be episode 166 because that's the big number that you keep hearing about with Devonta Smith weighing in at 166. So there's been some fun discussion about that. I think we all knew. I mean, we all knew he was not going to be, it was not going to be a huge number. So you does this mean anything to you whatsoever? Just kind of reinforces how you were feeling.
I mean, I don't know. It's a kind of hilarious speculation. Is this a confirmed weight? Did somebody sneak us? Was he standing in line for something and he moved to the spot that they had a hidden scale? So was he fully clothed? Did he have the iPhone, whatever, 12 or the iPhone 12 plus? That could make a difference when he was weighing in at. I just don't think it really matters. Devontae Smith won the Heisman. At whatever weight he is. So I don't think it's going to affect his draft stock because I don't think teams care at this point in time. They probably already know.
Yeah. So, listening to draft people, I think it was Dane Brugler who was on the couch with Sigmund Bloom this week. He talked about, or it might've been someone else, but somebody that's plugged into the community, you talk to different teams and allegedly some teams care about the weight, some teams don't. So, and it seems like the teams that don't care about his weight are going to know how to use him. So I think that, I think he is obviously, he's an outlier when it comes to his weight, but also he's super talented and probably a unicorn because everything else kind of stands out, So I don't know. I mean, I think people like him more than I do in rookie drafts, but it doesn't mean he's necessarily a bad pick. And I think as long as he goes to a team that knows how to use him, I think, he could be potentially just fine. But, but this doesn't change anything for me because we knew his weight was 166. Then it's getting all kinds of crazy buzz on Twitter, and I don't quite understand it. I think there's just so little to talk about other than draft hype that this is just a draft hype piece, right? Gives us something to talk about.
I mean, it just makes me feel fat. That's about, I mean, what it does.
All right. Well, and then other, I guess our other notable news that's happened was
we've been waiting.
Yeah, have we? You wanna share the news in case people haven't heard?
Well, because I only knew that Wayne Gallman visited the Niners, and then you confirmed that he has signed with the Niners.
Yes, that's right. Field Yates tweeted that. A couple other people tweeted it. So it's official. He is signed with the 49ers.
Excited that Wayne Gallman signed with the Niners. Not excited because Niners signings haven't gone very well.
Yeah,
back position.
Yeah, they do much better with, like, you know, practice squad guys that they call up and bring in, don't they? So
Jeffrey Wilson stock down.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the running back depth chart, it's according to our lads, they've got Jeffrey Wilson, RB1, then Raheem Mostert, and then Wayne Gallman, running back 3. So you still have guys like Jamichael Hasty and Austin Walter hanging around.
Austin Walter, my offseason pickup deep dive.
There you go. So he's 5th on the depth chart. So there's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
I mean, he signed with the team.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, the same, like, just like Wayne Gallman did. So they're same.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating. The Niners is the zero RB fantasy team of the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Wayne Gallman, we've seen it when he's been given a chance. You know, he's put up some numbers, you know, as Saquon's backup. So I don't think there's any actionable dynasty advice. I guess what it means is if you've got Wayne Gallman on your dynasty rosters like I do in some of mine, then I guess when I'm making my cuts to make room for my rookies, I probably will keep him around because
yeah, he's forcing his way into a roster spot again on your team because you basically can't cut any Niners running back.
Yeah,
I mean, Austin Walter, I guess you can get rid of him, but Jamichael Hasty, like, are you really gonna get rid of him? Is like the end of the roster versus whatever kind of wide receiver 6 or 7 you want to plug into there overall. Because there's always going to be, like, if injuries strike them again and they have a running back that's starting for them in whatever week you want to kind of count into the season, especially with 17 weeks, you're starting them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what can I say? I'm looking here to see if he's available in my dynasty leagues, and it seems like he is pretty much rostered.
So well, because he was productive last year with the Giants. He was a valuable, like, player on your team. Like, he was a great flex play, or if you're desperate at running back, you could plug him in. Wayne Gallman had a really good fantasy year last year, especially for what you had to pay for him.
Yeah, he did. He had some good weeks. So it's I think that's pretty good news. I suppose for, you know, like I said, it's kind of like a not too notable. So we should probably move on then, Will, and get into our action items to take prior to the
2021. Wait, one quick piece before that. And I think going back to the fantasy footballers, Ryan, remember when they said if Paul Perkins was named Smash Jackson, we'd be way more excited about him as a player. Wayne Gallman's the same way. If Wayne Gallman was named Smash Jackson, if Smash Jackson signed with the Niners, we'd be way more excited based on name value alone.
That's true. That's true.
Smash Jackson.
I would love it if he changed his name. We'll have to, make a petition him to do that. So maybe we start a GoFundMe for a name change. How much does that cost? What are the legal fees?
$75? I don't know.
Then he can afford it probably with that 1-year deal he signed.
$75, I should say.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well, let's get in. Let's talk about it. So we're a mere days away from the 2021 NFL draft. So in addition to talking about action items, the other thing I want to talk about, Will, with you is that are there rookies in this draft that landing spot is really important for you? And I know one of the things I think we're reminded of every year is we want to be careful about reacting to landing spot because, you know, we sometimes we get too excited, you know, the Keyshawn Vaughn you know, obvious example from last year where he went to Tampa Bay. We're like, oh my gosh, this is a dream landing spot. We got to take this guy. I don't mean if this team drafts a running back, I'm going to be excited about that running back. I just mean like a player that, you know, like Devonta Smith, for example, like he's 166, you know, I think team might need to be creative about how they use him for him to be successful. Are there any guys that stand out in your mind that they got to go to the right place, or I'm going to be excited about them if they go to the right place, but if they don't, then I'm just out.
It's hard because there aren't a lot of wrong places anymore that we're seeing with the way the NFL is changing. Like the Jets were a bad landing spot previously, and now the Jets have a kind of a whole new coach regime change, and we shouldn't rely too much on that, but everything's going to change about them. So maybe that landing spot's going to be different. I guess I don't have specific players in this moment of where somebody's going to land and whether or not I think they're going to use them correctly. I am worried about any offensive player that goes to the Bears.
You basically are like, I'm not worried about anything, but if someone goes to the Bears, I'm out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, yeah, just show me how the Bears have utilized somebody super well in their rookie season to benefit your fantasy team.
I'm not able to do that because basically they haven't, but I still think that's a low blow. They've got Andy Dalton now, Will. Haven't you heard?
Andy Dalton, just distributor. That's the first word that comes up in my mind when we talk about him. But the Giants are kind of a tough fit overall.
Make an argument for just hypothetically speaking for the Bears. They get a wide receiver in the first round. You've got to be excited about the wide receiver because look at the wide receivers they have. They've got Allen Robinson, and that's about it. I mean, unless you're really buying into Daryl Mooney. I mean, they need wide receiver help. So I think that if, you know, I'm not going to overreact to any spot, but I don't, like, for example, like a wide receiver, you know, going to the Bears, I don't think that's bad for that rookie wide receiver.
Okay, plug somebody there. Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore. Somebody further down the draft board, Rashad Bateman. Are you excited about any of those guys that go to the Bears?
Excited about the opportunities they'd have because they're going to be instant starters. I mean, they're not going to be the priority of the defense because the defense is going to worry about shutting down Allen Robinson. So I mean, am I like overly excited? No, but I'm not like I'm going to avoid him because he went to the Bears.
Yeah, I don't have like picks at this point in time of where I think players shouldn't go. I mean, it will suck for any running back to go to the Washington football team, the Eagles. I mentioned in our Patreon episode. I think that's like a weird spot based on their team's like decision making skills, and those would both I think be bad overall. If the Buccaneers draft a running back in day two, you know, like later round three or something like that, that's not very fun. What do you think?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons I brought this up is because one of the things I think is really important to do, and I think this is probably common sense, but I'm not sure that everyone does it, is to come up with a draft board, right? Of basically of rookies, like how you have the rookies ranked now, independent of landing spot, because no matter what you tell yourself, you're going to get influenced somewhat by the landing spot. These things happen. So I think that's pretty important. And I think when you're doing that, you might find a guy that I think you want to talk about something like Kenny Gainwell. I think he has some certain skills, especially in the receiving game where, you know, if he goes to a team that obviously needs to add to their running back by committee, a guy that's an excellent pass catcher, then he's much more interesting to me than if he goes someplace where it's kind of vague what his role might be. So he's a guy that kind of stands out in my mind as like a certain skill set that I think would work well in fantasy for some teams, but not for others.
Yeah. And Gainwell is a player that I'm rising on a little bit. Cause one, we shouldn't be surprised when he has day two draft capital. If he had his 2019 season in 2020, we would literally be all crapping our pants about how excited we are about him as a prospect. He ran fast enough at a 4.48 at his pro day. You know, he comes in at 5'11", 201 pounds. His total yardage in 2019, right, it was over 2,000 yards. If that happened in 2020, it would just be such a different aspect. One part about him, though, being 5'11", 201 at his pro day, It puts his BMI right around like Christian McCaffrey's when he came to the NFL. That was the closest one I could find at a 28.8, or basically in the 12th percentile. So he's going to be he's slight for his height. And this is one thing, like buy and read Matt Wallman's RSP about him. One thing I want to note about this is I might not be able to get Kenny Gainwell in my rookie drafts, but he's definitely gonna be a target of mine if he doesn't produce well in his rookie year. And so that we're looking at like landing spot and where they go, he can go wherever. And if he doesn't boom in his rookie year, and I wasn't able to grab him in my rookie drafts, let's say like in the second round, that he's going to be a guy I'm targeting as a part of that kind of like future build, where if he, again, like that running back doesn't pop year one, that year two, three, four, I'm more excited about. Like, I don't see him taking like the, why am I forgetting it? The seventh round pick, Eno Benjamin, the Eno Benjamin round. I don't think he's just going to not see the field at all.
Yeah. I think he's going to get some decent draft capital attached to him. Yeah, you know, I don't know if he's going to go second round, but it seems like the third round, maybe
day is two. Day two is what I'm saying.
Yeah, day two, and I think that, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not going to be your first or second down back, but I kind of see him as almost like a like if the situation is right, he could be like a Tariq Cohen, like when the Bears had Jordan Howard, right? Like he could be a guy that could put up some big numbers. Because he is quick, he is explosive, he's a great pass catcher. So yeah, I think he's an interesting guy to pay attention to. And you're right, one of those guys to keep an eye on in his career, because you know maybe he does get in a crowded backfield, but then the next year some of his running back mates leave in free agency or something like that. So yeah, I mean he's another one of these Memphis running backs, you know, and not that really means anything at the end of the day, but you know, it's not.
I mean, he
not a
carried narrative. The load when Antonio Gibson was there, and Antonio Gibson has shown to be a pretty good NFL running back so far. I mean, no, he's buoyed by touchdowns this past season quite a bit, but Kenny Gainwell is putting Antonio Gibson on the running back pine. So, I think that's worth noting and remembering. And I know Memphis is a unique, kind of unique college situation, but I'm just a really big fan of Gainwell's game. And I think if he starts to slip, that's where these are the kind of values in your rookie draft that you move up and grab versus those top players.
So are you hoping, Will, that he goes later than in the draft than you want, because you want him to be a value like later? Like, would you be excited if he got drafted, let's say the fourth round?
No.
Then you're out.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, there's just not a plan for the fourth round player in the same way that there is a second or third round player.
Agreed. No, I agree. I'm just wondering if it's, you know, because sometimes you, like during the process, it's like you really like this guy and you almost want them sometimes to, I mean, you want them to get drafted early, but sometimes it's like, well, if they get drafted late, maybe I'll just take a chance because you can get them so late a lot of times rookie drafts. But
yeah, like I could just see him ending up with, you know, like the Broncos. It's like a bad landing spot. But that landing spot doesn't deter me too far, and hopefully he slides down draft boards.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't deter me too much. I think the Broncos would be like a nice spot for him to land, honestly. If it's Melvin Gordon and then him, I mean, I think that's nice. I think that's a really great, that would be a nice tandem.
Yeah. So, but the long story short, kind of about Gainwell is I just think, the fact that we didn't have his last season, and again, maybe it's me fantasy wishing a little bit for those players that set out last season to boom, but I think he has so much more boom potential than what we're giving him. And he's also just been under discussed on all podcasts that I've listened to. And Ryan, at this current time, I have a lot of time to listen to podcasts, so I've been listening to a lot. He rarely comes up, and it rarely comes up that he was 5'11 and 201. We don't talk about his weight. I get that it was increased at his pro day. But even if he's a little bit lighter and can kind of fit into that role, again, everybody read the RSP and buy it, because I'm not going to give too much information away from it. He does have some things to learn. And if it takes him a year to learn it, that's where I'm going to be trying to scoop him up on my dynasty teams if I can't get him in the rookie draft.
Yeah, I think he hasn't been talked about well, because I think in general, the running back class, we've been talking about Harris, Etienne, Javonta Williams to a certain extent, to a lesser extent, but he gets discussed a lot too. And then that's kind of it. Then we kind of mentioned these other guys because we've really written off this running back class in the ICU community, generally speaking. It's like, you know, the so-called conventional wisdom is, well, you know, at the top, there's some really interesting guys, but you know, once you get past them, you know, this is a really bad running back class. And that, I mean, I think that's probably true, but it doesn't mean that there won't be some intriguing guys that pan out. Like I'm getting more and more interested in Trey Sermon, you know, the more I read about him, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. Cause I feel like he has potential to, you know, based on like what I saw of him. And then what a lot of the film guys are saying now is that they really like Trey Sermon. So, you know, he's kind of intriguing. But we'll see, you know, I think it doesn't mean that we don't pay attention to these running backs. I still think that you're better off a lot of times later in your rookie drafts, taking the running back versus the wide receiver, you know, that's, you know, maybe like a third round pick because, you know, the running backs just have they could boom sooner if they get in the right situation. If, the depth chart ahead of them falls apart, then they get in and then you've got some value. But, while we're on the running backs, you know, where are you hoping to see, any dream landing spots for Harris or Etienne?
Okay, so you want to go to the Najee Harris rant?
Yeah, I was trying to set up Will to talk about Najee Harris because I looked in the show notes, there's all this negative slander about Najee Harris, a guy that I'm very excited about. So Will, I'm hoping Buffalo Bills. Although I think Etienne would be more interesting as we talked about on the Patreon show. You'll have to subscribe on Patreon to hear that those thoughts. But but I think Harris is interesting. But you've kind of taken a look at him and you're there's some red flags for you.
Well, I think it's fascinating that one we have another round of an Alabama player of. Is he older than blank? And Najee Harris almost fits this. It's not the Calvin Ridley, but it's different. He's very, very different than Calvin Ridley. I don't know his history, and maybe we'll look this up after the draft, but he was born on March 9th, 1998, which leads us to this, is basically that he is older than all of the 2020 good rookies. Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, CEH, Akers, Gibson, Dylan. And then there were some surprises, like Alexander Mattison, he's older than. I wrote James Robinson after that because I found it later, but he was still a rookie, but he was a four-year player in college. Anyway, and he's only 30 days younger than Josh Jacobs. So when we look at running back age and their curve and how they're going to produce, and maybe Najee ends up going in the first round and he can be a very productive player for a few years, but it's very hard. And I don't, again, think that this has been talked about a lot is like, it's really hard to find a comp for a player coming out at this age with this type of production. I think it's just fascinating. Just quickly on the age topic, Ryan, he is just a touch over a year younger. So like 1.1 years younger than Saquon. He's less than a year younger than David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, and Ronald Jones. Maybe not the best group to be a part of, but anyway, it's relevant to the running back position and how much, like how long they can last in the NFL. And where does this lead to? I don't think we have great precedents for those kind of four-year starters in a big program moving into the NFL. The best one that I could find with my research was DeMarco Murray, played 4 years at Oklahoma and came out, I think, at 22 and a half and was the third round pick to the Cowboys and had some just prolific seasons. Other ones are either at lesser colleges or have a reason. Like Nick Chubb was at 4 years at Georgia, that he had that horrific knee injury, like David Johnson at Northern Iowa, Austin Eckler at Western State, which I guess is a college. Sorry, Austin Eckler, but no one knows where Western State is. Aaron Jones at UTEP and came out as a similar age as well, but was a much later round pick. Like Aaron Jones was the fifth round pick. We forget that Jamal Williams was picked in the fourth round. Jamal Williams was in the fourth round. Aaron Jones was in the fifth round. But anyway,
I'm more worried
about this age factor with Najee Harris, Ryan, especially with this last like very, very dominant year. And it brings me back to this biggest point is he fast enough and explosive enough to be successful in the NFL? I get that his senior season tape was incredible. He had, like, his stats are through the roof. He had such a great season, but we didn't get any testing out of him. And it just scares me. His high school stats from the ESPN top 300 leave some room for improvement. He ran a 4.66 40. He came in at like a similar height and weight, and I don't really have much else to go on. So I was looking up, you know, like what's his longest run? Like maybe he has some breakaway speed. Maybe he can show me something. But his longest run in college was 53 yards in 2020. In the previous three seasons with Alabama, his next highest was 35. And that's just really, really short for a pro running back prospect with that you want to expect any sort of breakaway speed. I'm worried that he's has David Montgomery breakaway speed, and we're in for a disappointment in his rookie season. Like Etienne had 90, and every other year was at least 72. Even Javonte Williams had 65. Trey Sermon had 65. Even the plotter that everybody seems to just love to call a plotter, Ramondre Stevenson, his long was 75. Looking back through previous Alabama running backs, you see this as a part of the offense and what they're doing. If you just want to go back like close years, like Damian Harris had a 70-yard run. And I think it was two years in a row. I mean, even in 2012, Eddie Lacy had a 73-yard scamper. So what I want to get back to go to again, like his longest reception was 42 yards in 2019, but then his longest reception in 2020 was 26 yards. My biggest concern here, Ryan, is that Alabama was so good in 2020 that he didn't have, like, this part of him didn't get to show as much as it should have. And that it's actually should be considered a detriment to his overall speed. A quick blurb to not give too much away, because again, reading the RSP, at least go read the RSP for knowledge, because it's great stuff. But so he needs a long runway to reach his full speed, and he rarely gets them. When he does, he reaches top gear. That, you know, kind of belies his initial burst. But this is why for Waldman, the Matt Forte comparisons stop. Between, because he's been comped to Matt Forte so many times,
right? Everyone says it.
You know, yeah. Big hands, a lot of catches, and was, you know, prolific college production. But that's where it kind of stops, because Forte had much more quick twitch athletic ability, similar to former Vikings runner Robert Smith. But basically, they both believe they're gliding, but they could reach top speed in a hurry. Versus Najee cannot, and in the NFL, it's a completely, like, it's such a faster game than college. And I worry that he's not going to be able to adapt to the NFL quick enough. And with his age, that his value is going to decrease sooner than what you want it to. And if you're trading up into this pick to grab Najee, or if you're taking him here, that if you're, again, if you have an early rookie pick that wasn't traded for and you're like on a rebuilding team, this is not the type of asset you want to have.
Yeah. What do you think? Well, I think you're overplaying the age thing is the age thing, right? I mean, if that concerns you, you know, I totally get it. But I think that with that, I think that could be explained because he was behind a little depth chart at Alabama. And he wanted a chance to prove himself and improve his draft stock. So he came back his senior year, and guess what? He did it. I mean, you know, he really blew up and, you know, showed what he could do. You know, in terms of the speed, we knew that's his one big weakness, right? Like, he doesn't have breakaway speed. This isn't a, you know, this is, you know, a pretty common, you know, knock, so to speak, against him. But everything else, I mean, the guy's a beast. Of course, he's not the fastest guy because he was 232. I mean, he's huge, but he's athletic. You've seen him, you know, leap over guys in college, make amazing plays. He's got tremendous vision. So I think when you look at running backs, you know, there are a lot of attributes, and you don't necessarily have to have them all to be a fantasy producer, a fantasy stud in the NFL. And I think he has enough attributes where he can do it. I mean, you talked about his hand size. He has amazing mitts, 10 and a quarter inch hand. So, you know, he's a huge man that has great vision, that can catch the ball, that can be a three down back. So I think what you point out, though, is that Najee Harris is not a guy like Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. You know, like, he's not like this guy that we're like, this guy can't miss, locked him in 101. I do think that the breakaway speed is a concern, and it is a limitation of his game. And you know, maybe you can make the argument that Travis Etienne has a higher ceiling because, you know, he also has tremendous vision, and he is, you know, he has the ability to make those breakaway plays. So, but I still like Harris quite a bit. I think in a one QB league, he's definitely in consideration for me for the 101. So I think in one QB leagues without any kind of tight end premium, I mean, what's the debate for you? Who's your 101? I mean, so in a one QB league, which I know we don't talk about, we talk about Superflex, where do you rank Harris then? Like, where is he in your rankings?
Oh, man. Being
on the spot.
It makes it so tough because
without knowing landing spot.
No, it's because I want Najee Harris so badly, Ryan. I really do. I want him to be my 101 with a bullet, and I want him to be this prospect that I have complete confidence in. But I have a ton of concerns. So right now at this point in time, we're drafting today, unknown landing spot. I'm going to go Travis Etienne as the 101 in a full PPR league, because I feel like he has more of what an NFL team wants in this day and age than what Najee Harris brings to the table. And then I think I'll go Jamar Chase. I guess it depends. Probably Kyle Pitts and then Najee Harris.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're not going to have Najee Harris in any of your leagues, is what you're saying.
No, and I'd be scrambling to trade back in all those scenarios anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe even Kyle Pitts 102. Like, that's the thing is, like, if I was stuck at this draft position, and by stuck, I say that almost like a negative sense. I don't think that's like I don't mean that in a super negative way.
Yeah.
I just mean, it doesn't fit what I wanted if I'm a rebuilding team and have that 102 based on my performance. If I'm trading up in a win now team, I would take 102. Najee Harris, that's not a problem for me.
Gotcha. Because we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, that, you know, when you look at rookies, they're, you know, they all have their strengths and weaknesses and pros and cons. But I think if you look at this class, and I'm talking about like a super flex league, I feel like there are a couple of guys that it's really hard to find any flaws, right, in their profile. I think Trevor Lawrence certainly fits the bill. I mean, you can find little things to nitpick about him, but I think overall you look at his profile, it's real rock solid. Kyle Pitts is the same way. I think Jamar Chase is the same way. But then you've got a lot of guys that there are some flaws in their profile as we usually see. You talked about them with Harris, you know, with obviously with Smith, it's his, you know, his weight, and the list goes on and on. So, you know, I think if you want to make the argument to avoid Harris because those other guys don't have the, you know, some of those, like they really don't have any flaws, I think that's an okay argument. Cause I think when you're drafting at the top of your draft, you don't want to, well, I mean, you obviously want upside. You obviously if you got the 101, 102, you want a guy that's just like a stud that's going to win your leagues. But at the same time, you also don't want to miss too, you know, and I don't know. Here's the thing. You pointed out your issues with Harris, that you're worried about, you know, his age, and you're worried about the breakaway speed.
Well, general quickness, like adapting to the NFL speed of the entire game.
Okay. And I think, okay, so that's what you're worried about. So my question is, are you just worried about his, you feel like his upside is capped, or you're just worried that he's going to bust completely? You're not saying this guy's going to be Trent Richardson, are you? Don't you think his floor is at least a running back too?
I mean, Trent Richardson had a longer run than Najee Harris had in his whole career.
All right. So, but that's what I'm asking you. I mean, are you worried he's going to bust out, or you just think his ceiling's not as high as some other guys you could take early
in your Yeah.
That's why I'm asking.
I think his draft capital is going to be high enough where he won't bust out right away. But if I'm investing in a player for the future, it's not going to be Najee Harris.
Okay.
I actually am worried he could bust out.
Okay. No, fair. No, that's good. And I'm just asking like how worried you are. Just that's where I wanted to go. So hypothetical situation. Let's say the other guys you've kind of talked about it's a super flex draft, and all the quarterbacks you're interested in are off the board, and Chase is off the board, and Etienne's off the board. Or no, Etienne's not on the board. So the running backs are there for you. And in this situation, Harris has gone to the Buffalo Bills in the first round at pick 30. And then Etienne has gone the second round to, say, the Miami Dolphins. Who are you going to go with? Who are you taking? Assuming that draft capital. So you got Harris to the Bills, first round, Etienne to the Miami Dolphins, second round.
I'm going to go Etienne.
All right.
Yeah, I think I'll go Etienne.
All right. We'll see what happens. I'm not predicting it's going to happen, but we'll see. We'll see. No, but you've given me some things to think about, because I was aware of his lack of breakaway speed, but I don't know, man. I think everything else he's got. I just like the fact that he's big and
it's hand size, and, Ryan. Just say
It's hand size. The hand size is, it gets me every time. What can I say? So, all right. Well,
I mean, basically Najee Harris was like me playing, like going and playing pickup ball with all the fourth graders in soccer at the fields by my house.
What you do on a daily basis.
I mean, honestly, my breakout age is, it's a little older, but my stats are prolific.
Just a little bit. All right. Let's talk about a couple other things here. Other things in terms of, we're kind of talking about these action items before, talking about some other things, but so let's kind of talk about, I'm sorry, I'm stepping over myself here. We started talking about this last week, like good sell candidates. We mentioned buy candidates. We started to mention sell candidates. Do you have anyone to add to your list in a week? Have you thought of some other players? Cause I wanted to mention something that I read. It's actually an older article.
Go for it.
It's an older article that I found on DLF. And one of the things I want to say about DLF, Will, a lot of times I'll just look at it for their tools, whether it's their, to find recent trades involving players or look at the ADP. But there's a lot of content on there, and they're adding writers all the time. And there's a lot of good content. And Peter Howard, friend of the show, is a writer for them. And he wrote this article back at the end of March, "When Do Wide Receivers Break Out?" And I don't want to give too much away from the article, but I think one of the points that Peter made, and looking at the data, is we hold on sometimes too often to these, rookie wide receivers, thinking, oh, there's going to be a second year breakout or third year breakout. And oftentimes you're better off selling those rookie wide receivers that don't break out. It doesn't always work out for you. But after reading the article, I don't want to give anything away, you should check it out, I'm much more motivated to trade away those sophomore wide receivers, especially ones that have like lost some value since they were drafted. So that's one of the things I'm going to look to do before this draft. And I think there are some obvious examples that are not super valuable guys that maybe can fetch you something. Bryan Edwards comes to mind. He was a kind of a popular name last year in rookie drafts. People were very excited about him. And I think he's one of those guys that, first of all, the Raiders could take a wide receiver or two, knowing the Raiders, but I don't know. I just think that, he's a guy that could actually fetch you something that you could turn into something that's not a guy that could be a roster clogger. So I think there are a lot of wide receivers like that. So I just wanted to mention that. It's something I'm going to try to do with my teams.
Well, Ryan, where does it go to, like Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Reagor? Are these like similar type of players? There, you got to find, because there's all like in every league, there's probably somebody. I mean, granted, if you're the person that drafted them and you've waited on them this long, maybe you're that person that's highest on them. But Jalen Reagor and Jerry Jeudy, maybe it's time to move on from them. Or what do you think?
I think they definitely fit the criteria. I think there is a world where, Jalen Reagor or Jerry Jeudy, where they could have a bounce back season. I think Jerry Jeudy is very interesting, and I think a lot of his issues his rookie season were bad quarterback play. But with guys like that, especially a guy like Jalen Reagor, where I have way too much Jalen Reagor, unfortunately, I want to maybe move some of those shares of Jalen Reagor that I have for just to kind of diversify, if nothing else, because I do have some hope for him, but at the same time, looking at the data, how often these guys don't work out, then it makes sense to move on from at least some of my precious Jalen Reagor shares. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one where it's still with injury and how Philly was last year, that he still is going to carry upside, especially again, you're trying to find that rebuilding team or a team that's like looking to invest in youth. I think Jerry Jeudy is tough because he had like so many unrealized air yards. He also had like a case of the dropsies last year. So you have to find the person that's going to value him to where you want to move him in a deal. It's probably not going to be a one for one type of thing. It's definitely a package. But also, like, what about like Michael Pittman, Ryan, who again, he had compartment syndrome in his leg, and missed a good portion of the season, or like Denzel Mims. Are we moving on from like all these young wide receivers, or?
No, what do I want to, like, Mims, I would be okay with moving on from, sure. Michael Pittman, you know, it depends on what you could get for him. I don't necessarily, you know, love Michael Pittman, and but I don't know, probably I wouldn't hang on to him. I think there's some more hope. I just think the point here is that I am much more open to moving a lot of these sophomore wide receivers, realizing that a lot of times they just don't break out. And you should check out the article because Peter puts in perspective and shows some numbers, and it's pretty dramatic how often they don't work out. Cause I think a lot of times we're like, well, you know, it's gotta be patient. This guy, second, third year, this guy's gonna be next to Devontae Adams. He's gonna break out. And it happens sometimes, but so often it doesn't. So I think it's okay to be more aggressive with trading these guys. And some of these guys like Gregor and Jerry Jeudy have decent value. I mean, you could get something decent in return. And, you know, a guy like Bryan Edwards, and maybe you're looking at like a, you know, later in rookie pick or something, maybe you can't get too much back, but you know, Jalen Reagor, you can, you know, I'm not saying you're getting Saquon back or anything, but you can get some value for those guys.
Yeah. I mean, you maybe package together something for Saquon and
yeah, maybe
like the extra piece on top. Based on how that team season went last year, maybe they had, you know, Drew Brees, Alex Smith, Philip Rivers as their quarterbacks in the Superflex League. But yeah, I mean, like KJ Hamler is a player that I think has like some sort of value. Again, like these are like little like, so like the salt on top of the dish that you're able to add on. And again, it's like targeting the rebuilding teams to try to move younger assets that has such a low likelihood of actually breaking out and being valuable to where they might have, you know, they have upside that's baked into there, but that's such a low percentage upside that it's more valuable to a team that isn't yours.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we should get to wrapping up here because I think we've almost exhausted all our thoughts that we want to give before this 2021 NFL draft. So 2-minute warning, do you have any final thoughts, any last thoughts you want to share as we're in NFL draft week officially?
Oh, I'm still so sad about Philip Lindsay going to the Texans, Ryan. Oh, just last thoughts that I wanted to share, but I'm happy he has the opportunity to earn more than 1.5 times what he's made in the NFL so far in his career.
Oh my gosh, really? That's pretty dramatic. Yeah, that's the way the NFL works.
He's basically, I don't even have it up, but I think he's made like $1 to $2 million so far. It has the chance to make 3 total with the Texans. David Johnson and Mark Ingram are his backfield mates. I think Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay though is like a tandem that should have come together sooner. Like, you want to talk about fiery guys? Like, they seem the most fiery guys on the planet when it comes to the running back room. So with their QB position up in there and the Texans is an organization, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. This is like my fantasy wish is that I want him to get back to his 2018 form where he was like, a top 10 PFF graded running back. And it may be a moot point at this point in time to still hold out hope for Philip Lindsay. But God darn it, Ryan, I want him to boom again. I want to see the Tasmanian devil out there just crushing it with the hair flowing out of the back of the helmet and just housing touchdowns or getting involved, with his little frame, like breaking a tackle from 350-pound dude. I just really, really want Philip Lindsay to be a thing in the NFL again, and especially for fantasy, because he's everything that I want in an NFL running back minus his like size.
Yeah, no, he is a great story and just a fun player to root for and watch. And yeah, I mean, if you look at that backfield, if this was 2018, you know, gosh, talk about a, you know, star-studded backfield, but it's 2021 and we'll see what those guys can do. We'll see what that Houston team is like. That's going to be a bad team. I mean, they don't have any draft picks. I don't think until the third round of the draft. And they need a lot of help. So it's sad. And who knows what their quarterback situation will be like with Deshaun Watson's status, you know, up in the air. They may be rolling out Tyrod Taylor week one. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, I think that just my advice is to, you know, buckle up or buckle in, as we say, and
buckle in.
And you know, just get ready for this draft because it's going to be wild, man. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be fun for fantasy. And check out the draft party as well, of all the reaction, and it's going to be a good time. So with that, I think we're going to get out of here, Will. We are the Fantasy Joes. You can find us on Twitter at FFJoes. Will is on Twitter at FantasyJoe_Will. I am on Twitter at RotoLibrarian. On behalf of Will Greenwood, I am Ryan Livergood, and we are the Fantasy Joes.